Welcome to the Guthrie America Podcast. We sit down with the amazing people who do life in our community and who are from here because we believe every story should be told, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Hedy Coleman. Today, I'm sitting down with Susan Moore. Before we jump into this conversation with Susan, would you please, please, please go ahead and subscribe to the podcast and leave a review. It would mean the world to me. Also, I don't know if you have an insurance agent like this, but my friend Kevin Kraft at State Farm is the kind of agent that I just go hang out with him at his office. And I talk to the whole staff, Angela, Chris, everybody. I just walk through there like I own the place. And it's just one big happy family, y'all. Even though this last time I was at Kevin's office, they told me to be quiet because somebody was over there and they were finishing up his life insurance. And so they just thought that was a moment just to be a little bit more solemn and cool and chill. And so I chilled out for a little bit so the man can finish up his life insurance. But I just want to shout out to Kevin for making sure that we have every story told in Guthrie America. Thank you for sponsoring and being a part of this. And also, I always have to thank North Church Guthrie for just believing in community in the way that we do it. So we're so thankful for their support as well. Susan, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Now, it's not often, but we do sometimes have the spouse of the person in the room with us. You have your hunk of a husband, and it's kind of like just a straight shot, so you can just look up at him and just kind of feel good.
It brings the calm.
He's one of the most calm people that I know. Has he always been that? How long y'all been married?
12 years. It'll be 12 years in June.
12 years in June. June what?
June 1st.
Did I? Yeah, I knew that. That's my birthday.
Oh, well, there
did you know?
Go.
You knew that. I know. That's right. Yeah, you didn't even know me yet.
12 years ago, we didn't even know you.
We know we're going to meet this guy at some point. So all the 12 years, has he always been just this? Who talked to who? Like, somebody that chill, who talked to who? Did you?
Oh, Mark pursued me hard.
Wow. So Mark, although quiet, he knows what he wants. He's a man who knows what he wants. That's so good. Can you tell me a little bit of the backstory? Can you?
So we met at church.
So he was chasing you at church.
Well, we met at church.
Okay.
My ex-husband and I, and Mark's ex-wife and we all went to church together. I went through a divorce about a year before Mark did, and then he just reached out to me. He said he needed a friend, and I said, I am not that friend for you. Here's my ex-husband's number. He can be that friend for
you.
Get
out of here.
And then we became friends. Like, our kids knew each other. Like, my kids knew him, Mr. Mark, from church. His daughter knew me. I took care of her Mother's Day out when she was two. And so our families just knew each other well. So we were friends for a long time. We would hang out on the weekends together when we had our kids. And then when one day we were just like, why don't we give this a try? And then a year later we were married. Or 10 months later. Was it even a year? We were married within the year.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Bernadette and I started kind of building a friendship more than just being friends. And then we were married December 2002, and we were married by November
of the next year.
Yeah, the next year. So
it was just easy for us to be friends. And I was coming out of a bad relationship, and he was coming out of a relationship, and we were like, we spend more time together than we spent with our bad relationships.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And so now 12 years. Mm-hmm. What's one of the things that is the thing that makes you all's relationship so special?
We don't give up on each other. Like, it has not been an easy 12 years. It's been hard.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just, I'm so stubborn. I wasn't going to give up because I'm too stubborn. I was going to make it work because I was, and I didn't want to be divorced a second time.
Yes.
And then nobody's ever loved me like Mark, and no one's ever put up with me like Mark. Mm. And so he does a good job.
That's really cool.
Of putting up with me. I do a good job of putting up with him.
Y'all do a good job of putting up with each other.
Took us a while.
How long do you think it'll take for me to get Mark to sit down? Because I got to have his story too, because we're on the mission to have every story told. Do you think Mark?
Well, here's the thing about Mark. You ask Mark something once. Hey, Mark, do you want to go do this? And he might be like, no. And then you go, hey, Mark, it'll be so much fun. And he's like, okay, let's do it. He gives the depression really easy.
That's how we get here.
Yeah, so I'm like, if you ever want someone to rob a bank with you.
I know exactly how this works.
It's like, you want to be my getaway driver? No. Nope. Come on. Okay, okay. Yeah, sure, I will.
Let's go do it. Now, Susan, how would the people closest to you describe... Let's go here. I want to say, tell me about your relationship with your daughter, Carson. Like, I think y'all have one of the coolest
Carson
relationships.
And I.
But wait, let's go with this question first. How would your friends describe you in three words?
So, I texted my closest friends.
I didn't even know.
Well, but here's the thing. Uh-huh. They didn't. I thought for sure they would all say sassy, stubborn, strong-willed. Like, I thought these were the ways my friends would describe me. And they all made me cry. They were like, loyal, brave, transparent, intentional. My very, very best friend said wise. And I said, wise? Are you sure? Like, me? Wise? She was like, yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, you've become more wise over the years. And she said, that's directly from God. She's like, God has given you a sense of just being wise that she's like, you didn't have when we first became friends.
Wow. How long have y'all been friends?
We became friends when our girls were like a year and a half old.
Okay.
God brought this really loud, sassy Texan into my life. He kept throwing us into situations together. And I was like, she's so loud. She's so obnoxious. Like, God, why do you keep throwing me into situations with her? And finally, I was like, okay, obviously you want something to become of this.
Yeah.
And she is my very best friend.
That's so cool.
She's my spirit. Like, she's my one friend through my first divorce that didn't turn her back on me within our church.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That's good. It's good to have friends like that. Now, when you say best friend, I feel like y'all really do hang out and connect. And
She moved to Texas 2 years ago, and I'm still not forgiven her for that. But, yeah, I mean, and whenever she comes back to Oklahoma, I mean, she comes back to see me. I mean, her kids live here, but she's coming back to see me.
She's not coming to see the kids. She's coming to see you. Is that that's what you've convinced yourself?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me about your family, and then we're going to go into Carson.
Okay. So, Mark is my husband. Bailey Byers is my son. And his wife's name
is there something else you want to say about him, or that's it? You're just going to say he's your son?
Bailey's awesome. I had him young, and he's the closest thing to perfect human that I've ever. And I'm not just saying that because he's my son, but he is just genuine and kind and everything that you look at your kid and you're like, this is what I want my kid to be, and this is what I want to be. He's just a good kid. And his wife's name is JC, and she is...
JC, isn't that JC in y'all's group, too, right?
We have a JC in our group.
Did you ever think you would meet a... I've never met a JC.
No, and we've met three JCs lately. It is so...
Oh, really?
So weird, and their names are all spelled differently.
Okay, so not all J-A-Y-C-I?
She's J-A-C-I-E.
J-A-C-I-E.
And the J-C from church is J-A-Y-C-I.
J-A-Y-C. Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I've never met a J-C before.
I had never met before. And her name is J-C, but Mark calls her J-C. He thinks it's like J. J.
He thinks it's like J-Z.
J-Z?
J-Z? No, it's J-C. J-C.
No, it's like J. He pauses. J-C. And we're all like, it's just J-C, Mark. It's like just JC, just like Bailey. Like, you don't go Bay Lee.
He's still trying to figure it out. That's good. Okay, so.
And then my stepdaughter's name is Madison. Okay. And she is 21, and she is a junior at OSU.
And she's super chill. I feel like she's, like, I've been around in just a few minutes, but she's kind of like Mark. Is she kind of like Mark or no?
Madison is a good mix of Mark and her mom. Madison is your typical girl. and she can be dramatic and very full of emotions, but she's very focused. Mm. So I don't think it's that she's so chilled like Mark. She's just very focused.
Gotcha. Focus can come off as chill,
too, I guess. And she's very, very intelligent, like really smart.
So. What's her major at OSU?
Animal science and entomology, the study of bugs.
Oh, my. Yeah. Interesting. What, she wants to do, vet or something?
A chiropractor. An animal chiropractor. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, wait, what?
Like, and specifically, like, large animal chiropractor. Oh,
okay. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
So, yeah.
You still got more?
I have grandbabies. I can't forget my grandbabies. Beckham.
Did you say Carson and Dakota?
Yes. I have Beckham Bailey is Carson and Dakota's oldest. He will be 4 in October. And then Remington Ray will be 8 months this week. And I like to tell everybody she's named after me. My middle name is Ray. But her daddy's middle name is also Ray. So Carson's like, we just killed 2 birds with 1 stone. So, gotcha. And then Carson is my baby. She's 24. She's married to Dakota. They gave us our grandbabies. We're extremely close. Both of my kids and I are extremely close. When their dad and I divorced, he moved to Mexico and lived and worked in Mexico for like 8 years.
Oh, wow.
So cool. It was the 3 of us. Gotcha. And super, super close. And sometimes people don't understand that dynamic of how close, like, the 3 of us are.
Yeah, that's really nice. Like, I've been around you and Carson more so than you and Bailey. And so I see how y'all interact and y'all's
relationship. She's my best friend.
Yeah.
She is my best friend. She was a hard kid. She was a hard baby. She was a hard toddler. She was a hard adolescent. And I remember thinking, God, if this is how her teenage years are, like, one of us is not going to survive this.
Yeah.
Like, and then she was an easy teenager.
Oh, okay.
Easy.
Do you remember what made the transition? Is there anything that, like, stood out for you?
I think she was just, like, over the whole, like, giving mom a hard time type of thing. And she just was, yeah, she was just easy. And her brother's opinion means a lot to her. And I think maybe Bailey was like, let's stop giving mom such a hard time,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, she just became a really easy teenager. And she met Dakota. They met when they were 15 at church camp. And I knew that he was going to be her husband someday. I didn't know it would be. They got married at 20.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then had Beckham a year later, almost to the day they had Beckham.
They got married at 20?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And, yeah. So, yeah.
That's good. That's good, good, good.
Carson likes to call me Susie. She doesn't like to call me Mom.
Yeah,
no. She calls me Susie.
I know. So, she's texting me at one point, and she's saying, Susie, oh, when we were doing
the surgery. Hospital,
yeah, uh-huh. The surgery and stuff like that. And so, she starts calling me Susie. I'm like, maybe she wants to be called Susie. And then I think you're like, she's the only person that calls me Susie.
Yeah, I was like, well, and when we meet new people, yeah, they want to call me Susie because they hear Carson call me Susie. And so I have to be like, disclaimer, don't call me Susie. She does it. She started doing it about, I don't know, like 5 or 6 years ago just to be ornery. And I just didn't react to it. And so now she hardly ever calls me Mom. She calls me Susie.
Why does she call you? You don't know why?
Because she was being a brat. She knows I don't like to be called Susie. So she started doing it just to be a brat get a reaction, like, out of me. And I didn't react, thinking, oh, I'm not going to react. She's not going to continue to call me that. And now that's all she calls me. And sometimes Beckham will call me Susie. And oh, I'm boy. Like, no, no, no.
No, this is not going down like this.
He's like, Susie. I'm like, no, no, no.
This is not going down. All right. Now, one of the things I know about you, when you came here, you had a big bowl of delicious cookies. Yes. You bake. How did you get into baking? Is it only just a few items that you like to bake? But what made you start baking?
I got into baking the year Carson went off to college because I was like, I have to I have to find a hobby. I have to find something to do. Carson was my, like, we did everything together. So her going off to college was really, really hard on me. And so I started baking, and I just was like, oh, I'm good at it. And I mean, I'll try to bake anything. If you ask me to try it, I mean, I'll try to bake anything. I don't like just limit to one thing. And I love to bake for the people that I love. My old office, on everyone's birthday, I'd be like, tell me what your favorite thing is and I'll bake it for you. I'll try. That one of the girls was like, my grandma used to make me this hummingbird cake. And I'm like, what?
What?
So I went and looked up a recipe for it and found a recipe to make her this hummingbird cake. And when she took a bite, she was like, this takes me back to my childhood when my grandma used to make this for me on my birthday every year. And that just made me feel really good. That's what I want to do for people.
That's cool. That's cool.
I hardly
cool.
ever eat what I bake, though.
Okay.
Because I just, I try to be aware of what I put in my body. So I like to bake it for people.
You put it in everybody else's body.
And but I'm like, Hetty, I'll just watch you eat this cookie. That's not weird.
That's not weird at all.
That brings me enough satisfaction to watch other people eat it.
And take it in and watch how they just think how delicious it is. Yeah. Now, staying on the subject of food. Now, it's almost been a year. You've been...
I stopped eating meat.
You stopped eating meat. Done this before. Tell me about this whole... At least this last journey. Why?
I just wanted to see if it would affect, like, the way that I felt. Mm-hmm. I'm getting older. And so I noticed I was, like, holding weight when I hadn't struggled with that before. So I was like, I wonder if cutting out meat would, but it really hasn't made a difference. But now that I'm like a year out, I'm afraid to start eating meat again because I just don't want to get sick.
So you just stuck with it?
Yeah.
So I've done it before, like years ago. I went almost a year without eating meat. It was just so hard to prepare the right kind of meals. I would just find myself eating fries.
No, you know? I gave up deep fried food probably 11 years ago.
Okay.
So I don't eat French fries. I don't eat anything deep fried. I love soups, salads. I've never been a big red meat eater, so that wasn't hard for me, but I do miss chicken sometimes.
So. When you stop eating fried foods, did you tell a difference in your body? Yeah, I feel like fried foods more so than meat.
I stopped eating deep fried foods and I stopped drinking pop. I stopped drinking pop probably about 14 years ago. It was my New Year's resolution one year. It's like, I'm going to stop drinking pop.
You stuck it out. What was your favorite? What was your go-to soda?
Diet Dr. Pepper.
Okay.
Yeah. And sometimes just to hear like a can open, I'm like, oh, like I know those bubbles would feel really good on my throat, especially when I'm sick.
When it's burning.
When I'm sick, I crave like that strong carbonation.
And you've held off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Does Mark drink soda?
He does he really stopped drinking it a lot when we got together. But every once in a while but the thing about me is I have an addictive personality.
Okay.
So I can't just drink like a pop once a week. Or as a treat once a month. Yeah, like if I start drinking Diet Dr. Pepper, I'm going to drink it every single day.
Yes. Yeah.
If I start eating French fries again, I'm going to want them every day. So.
Yeah. I was once reading something where it was talking about people in their eating habits, and they said some people are moderators and some are, I can't remember the other word, but it's kind of like, abstainer. You just got to abstain. And I'm an abstainer. Like, I just can't do it. Like, I can't. Mm-hmm. There's some people who are like, I'm just going to eat a piece of the cookie and I'm good. Like, no, I'm eating the whole box and I'm going to do it for the next 100 days.
I've learned over the last 11 years when I got really serious about what I was putting in my body, I've learned how to do things in moderation.
Mm.
But it hasn't always been that way.
Yeah.
But pop, I'm just like, nope, I just can't pop, do it at
just
all.
Know, you just know that that wouldn't be a good thing. Yeah. Are you a morning person or a night owl?
I'm a middle of the day type of person.
Middle of the day.
I'm not a morning person. Uh-huh. And I want to be in bed by 8:30. But like Mark knows, like when we get up in the morning, I get up, I shower, I get ready. He doesn't talk to me. Like he knows not to talk to me. until he's leaving for work, and then he'll come in and be like, okay, I guess I'm leaving. I love you. Have a good day. And I'll put my cheek out like this, and he'll kiss me on the cheek.
That's it.
Because I'm like, don't talk to me.
Not at all.
I mean, I can fake it with some people, but I'm like, I'm not gonna fake it with my husband.
He gets the real deal. He's like, don't you talk to me.
And I had to be a morning person for so long when my kids were little.
Yes,
you know,
you
and
just
when
said
I
no
get
more of that.
And when I get to work, I want to be at work like 30 minutes before my boss gets there so that I can kind of just like prepare myself for when he walks in the door. Then I'm all like, good morning, how are you?
Uh-huh.
One of my old bosses was like, how are you so perky all day long? And I'm like, when I go home, the first thing I do is I either punch my husband in the arm or my son. And he's like, no, you don't. I'm like, yes, I do.
Just because you feel
because
like,
I've been like on all day.
Yes, that's like my daughter, Nia. She would just like, she would get home from school and she would just go kind of crazy, berserk. And she was just like, I've been holding it in all day, trying to hold myself together and be this person. And she said, when I get home, I just can't, I just need to let loose and be whoever I, you know. And so Bernadette was not a, and not, I wouldn't say she's still a morning person, but man, I remember when we first got married, but now she's so much better. We have this whole story where I say I like to whistle in the mornings and she didn't want me to whistle, you know, and she's like,
I said to Mark before, are you whistling? Could you please stop whistling? And my son Bailey is a whistler, and I'd be like, don't bring your joyful whistle into my morning, because I don't.
It's not. But there's a lot of people, I love when I go do a seminar or something, I always kind of ask that question, who in here is a morning person? Like, it's not very many hands. Like, mm-hmm. The morning people are far few in between. So, yeah. But you go work out early in the morning, right?
But we don't talk. We both put our earbuds in.
Yeah. You just kind of go about your own. Mm-hmm. So y'all work out different workouts?
Yeah. We just kind of go and do our own thing and then come back together and leave.
That is hilarious. Whatever works.
It
you know
works
what I'm saying?
That I works mean, for you, Mark yeah. would love to be that couple that's like, looking at each other across the workout room, you know, and being like, oh, my wife is so beautiful, my husband's so hunky, and I'm like, no, this isn't what's going to happen.
It ain't happening. Now, how did you end up in Guthrie? Because you're not from here.
No, so we moved to Guthrie, it'll be 8 years in May, from Edmond. We were looking to buy a house. We wanted to buy a bigger house, and we just were able... We kept looking further north, and we were just able to buy more house for our money here than we could in Edmond. We were looking at like 20-year-old houses in Edmond that needed work, and we were able to buy a brand new house here. At the time, the market was really good.
Yeah. No, I was about to say, it's about the same, I think, almost in Guthrie as it is most places now. So that's good. So 8 years ago, came to Guthrie. What was some things that like you really enjoyed about it once you lived here?
I liked the fact that it's only like 13 miles north of Edmond, but you feel like you're stepping into a whole different world. So yeah. I moved to Edmond when I married my first husband. I'm not from Edmond. And just the stress of where you live, where you work, what kind of car do you drive, you know, where do your kids go to school, does your husband do for a living? And it just, it's very apparent in Edmond. And so, you know, you would go into Walmart and be afraid of running into somebody that went to school with your kids if you weren't dressed.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, I can go to Walmart here and not. I mean, I like how refreshing it is. It's so laid back.
Yeah.
And it's just so, it just feels like a different world.
Yeah.
Less traffic.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's more accepting. People are just more accepting and friendly.
Yeah. Here. No, and I think that's what most people, like, when you ask people what is it that you enjoy about Guthrie, they always say the people, you know. And so I think that's a really good response. What's been one of the scariest things you've done in your life?
I mean, I gave a kidney. And I still get emotional when I think about it.
Yeah.
I still feel like, did I really do that?
Yeah.
And at the time I was going through it, I didn't think too much about it because I knew I was doing what God was calling me to do. But afterwards, I'm like, I really did I just
give my kidney?
Like, I seriously
did I give my kidney away? What?
And I mean, I went into a 6.5 hour surgery, and yeah, that was pretty scary.
That was not just scary for you. I mean, the whole family. Like, yeah. That was something the whole family really had to process and work through.
It was hard. It was hard on Mark and Carson.
Yeah.
It was really hard on Carson. Like, she, as we got closer to the surgery date, she kind of shared more of her fears with me.
Yeah.
And then the surgery went like 1.5 hours longer than it was supposed to. She was really scared, and I saw it on her face when I came out, and that made me feel really bad that she went through that.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. You've been living with one kidney now for how long?
It'll be 3 months.
3 months?
Yeah. I feel like these last 3 months have gone so fast. Yeah. I don't even really feel like I did anything. I mean, I don't walk weird. I don't
you don't,
I don't feel
this, you're not leaning to the side.
I asked the surgeon, like, that was one of my questions, like, am I gonna feel? And he was like, no, you're not gonna feel. He's like, you're not gonna walk lopsided. You're not even. I was like, well, I mean, I don't know.
And I guess when he was answering, you probably got a sense of like, these are common questions that people are asking about.
He's like,
when they give up a kidney.
Yeah. He's like, you're not. He said, he asked me, do you have any questions? I'm like, not really. And he's like, no question. I was like, I really don't. And he said, you didn't Google. I said, oh, no. Like, I didn't Google. I purposely didn't want to hear other stories from people. I didn't want to Google it. I didn't want to know. I wanted to go in blindly.
Yeah.
And because I didn't want to get inside my own head about, you know, things that have happened. Yeah. I talked to a lady afterwards who had given a kidney like 1 month before me. And when I spoke to her, she was like, oh, I had some complications. And I said, I'm not trying to sound rude, but that's not a conversation I want to have with you right now. Mm-hmm. After I get through my surgery, we can talk. And we did. And they nicked her liver.
Oh.
Yeah.
And wow.
So she was bleeding internally, and they couldn't figure out why for a while.
Oh, my goodness.
But they tell you, like, there's, like, a 1% chance that
we may nick your liver?
Nick another organ while they're in there. And I was like, well, I'm glad I didn't know that before I went in. And we had the same surgeons, even.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah.
What's something that really surprised you when going through the process? Because how long did it take before you...
I reached out to the coordinator the end of May and started going through. It's just so much more than our blood types matching. And they did, like, they ran every test on me. Mm-hmm. They wanted to make sure that not only were my kidneys healthy, but that I was healthy enough to withstand that long of a surgery and that nothing was going to come up. You know, after they need to make sure I'm healthy enough that later on down the road, I'm not going to need that kidney that I just gave away.
Well, we're going to need that back from you.
Excuse me, can I have that back? So it took a good 8 months before we got an actual surgery scheduled.
Yeah.
It's just there's a lot more. And they did like a 2-hour psych evaluation on me.
Wow. Was that surprising? Were you anticipating that?
I knew I was going to meet with a therapist, with a psychologist. I knew that, but I had no idea it was going to be that in depth. Like, they talked to me about everything. And she was like, we have to make sure you're in the right mental headspace to do something like this as well.
What kind of questions did they ask?
We sat and talked forever. She wanted to know about my childhood, and then I took like a test on the computer, like a substance abuse test, to see if I've ever had any issues with substance abuse or drugs or anything like that. And yeah, it was just crazy. It was crazy.
Do you think not eating meat during that season of life helped? Like, did they say anything like that? Because I know your health was a big deal.
I mean, they had a nutritionist come in and speak with me about my eating habits and What surprised me was she asked me if I took any vitamins, and I'm like, no, I don't. I probably should. And she was like, no. She said, because if you were, I was going to tell you to stop taking all vitamins. Wow. She's like, a lot of times people are putting things in their body that's really hard on your kidneys to break down, and vitamins is one of them, she said. So, yeah, I spoke to a nutritionist. They brought a financial person to come in and talk to me about my finances. They wanted to make sure this wasn't going to be a burden on us for me to do this. You know, they wanted to make sure my boss was on board, that I was going to have vacation time, and if anything, you know, arose during the process, that I'd be able to take off more time if I needed it. A pharmacist came and talked to me about, pretty much now I can't take anything over the counter except for Tylenol.
Oh, wow.
Everything else is really hard on your kidneys. Tylenol's bad on your liver.
Okay.
But
not on your kidney.
But everything else is bad on your kidney. And they said you should really wear something like a medical bracelet in case I'm ever in an accident, emergency. They need to know that I only have one kidney, because it's going to change how I'm medically treated for the rest of my life. And those were things I didn't even think about. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Because one kidney is just not something that most people have. And, of course, designed with two. So, do you wear the – I don't see the
– No, I've not done anything like that yet. Okay. The lady said we had one lady that gave a kidney that actually had it tattooed on her. Mm. I gave my left kidney. So, I was like, that might be – But where would it would have to be somewhere that they could see it easy, you know? Yeah. I'm
like, it'd I don't have know. To be on your wrist, or maybe. Like, I don't know. Yeah, it would definitely have to be somewhere where it stands out. Like, could be on your back, and then if you never.
Like on the top of my foot. Like, it would have to be somewhere obvious.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, man, kudos to you, because I know that. I know the person that you gave the kidney to, and I just know how long that they had been waiting. And man, it was pretty amazing to know that there was finally a match.
And you know? Mark and I, our family, when we moved to Guthrie, we were not going to church in our community. And we went to church, but not in our community. And then I just really felt like 2 years ago, God was leading us to go to church in our community. And just the way he brought us to North, like had we never gone to North, I never would have met her. I never would have known she needed a kidney. And this never would have happened.
Yeah.
Had we not started going to church in our community.
And I tried to send y'all somewhere else.
Well, I remember the first time I met you, I was like, we're just visiting. And you're like, there are a lot of great churches out there. You have to, and that meant a lot to me that you said that you didn't just try to recruit us, that you weren't trying to convince us why North was the best church in Guthrie.
I think for me, like, it's really important that people go to a church that they're really going to connect with, and it just may not be North Church, you know. And we're definitely not the perfect church, and I always like to say, hey, if people are new, I'd love to, hey, let's try to help you find the best place for you.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I just want you in church, and I want it to be a place that you can grow and thrive. And yeah. But it was even crazier, though, that to now see that this has happened between you and Autumn, that, like, there was a sense of, like, hey, there's other churches out there. And God was like, no, they're supposed to be here, kind of thing, you know?
It's really crazy. And I've really had people say to me, how did you know you were going to give your kidney to her? And I'm like, well, you know, when I knew she needed a kidney, I thought, oh, well, I really hope she finds a kidney. You know, I'm going to pray for her. I really hope she finds a kidney. Uh-huh. And then one day God was like, oh, no, this is you.
Yeah.
You're her kidney.
Get your family ready. Yeah.
And when I was talking to my daughter about it, and she said something about Autumn's, I said something about Autumn's kidney, and Carson was like, well, Mom, this is your kidney that you're giving to Autumn. And I said, no, like, I believe when God created me, he knew I would give this kidney to her. I didn't have an easy upbringing. I didn't have an easy childhood. And there's times I've looked back and I thought, how did I survive this? Like, how did I come through this? And I think it's God has always protected me because he knew at 49 years old I was going to give my kidney to Autumn.
Yeah.
So I always felt like it was her kidney. I was just keeping it safe for her.
Great. You did a good job. You did a good job. So thank you for taking good care of that kidney. Now, if you had to pick one song to play every time you walked into a room, what would be the song? Mark, do you know the answer to this?
He might not know the specific song, but I mean, it would definitely be a Snoop Dogg song.
Thinking the song we listen to on our way to church.
Probably the Sunday. It's Snoop Dogg and Ben Rector. It's called Sunday. And it's happy, upbeat song. Uh-huh. Like the piano in the beginning. It's just so cheerful.
Gotcha.
And that would probably be my...
That would be your song?
That would be my theme song.
That would be the one? What's the tiny thing that always, without fail, brightens your day?
My family.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, I mean, not specifically one person every day, but it could be, Mark texts me every morning when he gets to work. He gives me about 20 minutes and he'll send me a text. Good morning, beautiful wife. I love you. I hope that you have a great day. And sometimes he says other things I'm not going to repeat.
Thank you.
But every day I know I'm going to open that and he's going to, good morning, beautiful wife. I love you.
That's cool.
And then Carson, every morning, Carson texts me, good morning, Susie. Do you need anything today? Can I bring you a coffee? Like, I feel like everyone in our family, they have such servant hearts.
Yeah.
And they want to, like, what can I do for you? Like, you know, she's a stay-at-home mom of two small kids, and every morning she's like, can I bring you a coffee? What can we do for you? Or she'll send me a funny video of Beckham or pictures of the grandbabies. That brings me joy.
That's cool. That's cool. If you had a superpower, what would it be?
Flying. Because I get road rage kind of bad. I drive really fast.
What's up with road rage? I had Ronnie Field on the podcast. Actually, he's going live tonight. And he was talking about road rage. He's like, I'm a pastor and I have road rage.
I get so, why are you impeding the fast lane? Like, one day, Hedy, I was driving home from Edmond when I worked in Edmond. I'm driving home. I'm going like 60 in the fast lane. And I'm like, what moron is impeding this fast? Like, what is going on up here? So I'm like, I'm going to have to pass someone. I have to get over and pass someone in the fast lane. So I could tell it wasn't the car. Like, two cars, like, there were three of us that were, like, who's in front of us? Uh-huh. So I get over, and I'm driving to pass.
So you're passing the person in the slow lane.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're in the fast lane going slow.
Yes.
Okay.
And I look over, and it is my stepdaughter, Madison, is impeding the fast lane. And I knew it was her car because she had this little sticker in her, monogram sticker in her window. I get home, and it still takes her like 15 minutes before she walks in the door. And I'm like, Madison, are you wanting to get killed? Like, what are you doing? Like, you can't drive 60 in the fast lane. She hadn't been driving very long.
Yeah.
And she knew that. You exit it off the left, the first Guthrie exit. So she's
ready.
She's just like chilling, you know, like 10 miles before the exit. I was so embarrassed.
That is so hilarious.
But there would be mornings I'd be driving to work and I'm like really getting upset with the car in front of me or, you know, whatever. And I'm losing my temper, but I'm listening to my worship music at the same time. And so I'm like, okay, God.
Give me flying ability. Give me the flying ability.
So I would love to be able to fly.
Got you. That makes sense.
Get there fast.
That makes sense. Road trip or are you taking the plane?
It depends. If it's just Mark and I, road trip. If we're going somewhere far with everybody, I'd want to fly. We drove to Galveston. We took Carson and Dakota on a cruise after they graduated high school. So it was us and Bailey. So all of us in a car driving to Galveston. I thought Bailey and Mark, I thought Bailey was going to knock Mark out. Like, I just thought, oh, this is getting good. Or a much bigger vehicle. But I enjoy going on road trips with Mark because we'll just drive and we can stop when we want to stop. And
yeah.
stop at every little antique store. Like, he won't tell me no. He's like, okay, yeah, let's stop. Let's
pull off. Yeah, that's really good. When you hear community wins, what does that mean to you?
Community wins?
Yeah.
Just giving back to our community. Just being present. And I'm trying to be more intentional about being present in our community. Mm-hmm. Because, again, we didn't go to church in our community. I just started working in the community. I've always commuted either to Edmond or the city. And so I just felt like God has really been like, you need to be present in your community. Not just live here, but be present and meet people and do life with the people that you live in the same community with. Because all of our friends, everybody, we didn't have friends in Guthrie. We've just met friends since.
Yeah.
And I feel so bad that we've been here for 8 years, and I feel like I've wasted like 6 years of getting to know people and pouring into the community.
And he's like, oh man, these people aren't that bad. Y'all shouldn't have waited so long. Yeah. Had I never met y'all before you came to North, mm-mm, right? Okay. Yeah. That's cool. Choose Guthrie. What does that mean to you when you see the signs around town?
Kind of the same thing. Like, just giving back, being part of the community, and just loving on the people around us. And another thing is, I never shopped in Guthrie. I always shopped in Edmond because I worked in Edmond. So I would go and do all my grocery shopping in Edmond.
Oh, my goodness.
And you buy clothes to choose in Guthrie. Edmond. And so that I felt like, well, we need to be shopping in Guthrie. We need to be giving back to the community that we're a part of.
Yeah.
And so God really laid that on my heart, too.
Yay, God. Yeah.
I mean, we basically, for the first 6 years we lived here, we basically just, our house was here. Yeah. We slept here.
Yeah. Guthrie once was like considered, and it's not as much anymore, but a bedroom community where it's like, we sleep here, then we go work and do life and everything else in the Oklahoma City metro area, you know? And so it's really cool to now, and some of it too, we just got to do a better job as a community of being able to support things so we can have more things, mm-hmm, here. And it just takes that whole attitude of like making, when thinking about Choose Guthrie, it's more like, okay, let me just make it a priority. It's not that I can't not go elsewhere or jump on Amazon or do these things, but like, I'm going to try to be a little bit more intentional about doing life here. And it's not just because I'm a pastor, of course, but like, one of the big ones is like, man, there's so many people who leave our community to go to church elsewhere. It's like, and I think the local church is just so important, and great people are leaving and going to church somewhere else versus being here locally and really investing and doing life together around the local church. It really just, it breaks my heart. But
it's made a huge difference in our life.
Yeah.
To be in church in our community, because there's people in our community that are holding us accountable.
Yeah.
When we were going to church in Edmond, we saw them on Sundays, and that was basically it.
Yeah.
You didn't run into people at the grocery store that you were going to church with. You know, you didn't stop and how are you? How's your week?
Yeah.
So we get that here.
Yeah.
And so that's made a huge difference.
That's good. Thank you for being on.
Yeah. It's
fun. I appreciate you. You did a great job. Yeah.
I feel like I didn't talk as much about my obsession with Snoop that I would have liked to.
Maybe it's a good thing. I don't know. Maybe it's a good thing. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for hitting that play button for another episode of the Guthrie America Podcast. We are on a mission to have every story told of the great people, fabulous people who are doing life in our community and who are from here. And I love to end with this question. Wait a second. Let me set this up just right before I ask. Will yours be next?